Jerry of Midgard, and my glorious purpose is to provide for you the Bennett Brothers podcast for the new Marvel Mystery Box show, Loki. And I've already said I was Jerry, so now you have to go.
And I'm Joel. So thank you for joining us yet again. This is our 301st podcast. I hope you guys enjoy it.
What a weird number to stop doing podcasts on.
I know, right? 301.
That's it. We're done.
I hope you guys enjoyed the 300th podcast where Jerry and I did a... Jerry drank, and I did not, but we did a fun review of 300 and 300 Rise of an Empire Strikes Back.
So, why'd you lead with Jerry drank?
Because it's different than our normal podcast. Like 100, 200, we usually have drinks so and cocktails
right
and talk about bad movies like 300 Rise of an Empire.
Dude, I have so much cocaine in my system right
he
now.
He does. It's amazing. It's crazy. I told him, just stick to the heroin. Glad you're back for another Marvel television show. God, there's so much Marvel. They just keep giving us everything. Just keep giving it to us, and it's great. That sounds awful.
This is a long show, the show we're going to review here. So we're going to get to it. It's a lot of information. Hopefully it will not be longer than the episode.
It might be, but we'll see what happens, because it might be a little bit longer because we are going to talk about just a couple bits of news that we haven't gotten to, because it's been a little bit since we've
actually
talked
about the news. It's going to be rapid fire. Joel's got a bunch of stuff.
So we have a couple of Marvel trailers out there. We had Shang-Chi.
Yes.
We have not talked about yet. What did you think of the trailer?
Good. Give me some more.
I thought it was great, except for the last line with...
Yeah, it made no sense.
Aquafina.
I have no problem with her. No problem with her at all. It was just a weird trailer ending.
It wasn't
ending.
Funny. Like, yeah. It was just...
We make a good team, or whatever it was.
Yeah. But I'm excited for the movie. We also got a trailer for the Eternals.
Yes.
And I think we're going to hopefully... I don't know if we're going to get explanation in Loki, but we're going to get some sort of... tie into why the hell the Eternals have never stepped in before they do in this movie.
I think a line of dialogue will take care of that.
Of course. The way it did in this show.
The trailer looked good. It didn't wow me. It was different. I'm excited for it. If it wasn't Marvel, I would be more questioning. Like, what is this going to be? But I have faith in the Marvel machine. Mm-hmm.
So. The Marvel machine. And I have extreme faith in it.
That's similar to Bigfoot and the Muscle Machines.
Wow.
Micro Machines.
Bigfoot was like the biggest thing in the world when I was a kid.
What if
like,
he crushed the Micro Machines?
How did that become Bigfoot? Like the one monster truck machine. And you have Grave Digger later on, but like that was the one.
You know another truck. I love it.
Those are the two I know.
I know one other truck. Truckosaurus.
Truckosaurus.
All right, that's why the podcast is 3 hours. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
We also got to see Shazam's new outfit.
Shazam!
Which I thought the outfit looked great. I'm excited for that new movie.
I do too. I don't like that they're changing the cape, but we'll see what works. They're like, should we wait like 4 years between all these other movies? Like, these kids are getting big. Mm-hmm. We have to make this movie now.
And I thought the first movie was great. You can listen to our podcast on that. Go check it out at BennettBrothers.wordpress.com.
No, it's not.
BennettBrothersPodcast.wordpress.com.
That sounds better.
Wow, holy smokes. It's been a long time since I've said that. So go there and check out all our previous podcasts. Also, what else? We had the little news on Aquaman 2. So that's exciting. I'm excited for that. Jerry hated Aquaman. So.
Aquaman 2 or Electric Water Boogaloo? It's called The Lost Kingdom.
You have to do that. I'm not saying you. I'm saying just in general. Whenever you talk about a sequel, you have to say to Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, it's like the perfect combination
it's so stupid. Of words. It's so stupid.
So stupid.
I mean, there's other news out there. We'll break it down as we go further in this series.
Which actually works with Electric Boogaloo because it was about breakdancing.
Yeah, it was.
All right, focus. God dang it.
I know. We're having a breakdown. Let's see what I did there. Breakdown.
Oh, Jesus.
But you're here. We're here to talk about the new series, Loki. That's Loki, L-O-K-I, not low-key. We're going to talk about episode one, the golden purpose.
Is it golden purpose?
Golden purpose.
Sure, it's not glorious purpose.
I believe it is golden purpose. That would make more sense if it was glorious purpose.
I'm hoping your spell correcting finally did something I know.
It is glorious purpose. Okay. It was the spell check.
Golden purpose sounds like some sort of weird scatological thing that you're into, and I don't want to know about that.
What? I want to also point out.
I wish you said porpoise. Golden porpoise.
The golden porpoise. This is not the golden glorious purpose. It's just glorious purpose.
Glorious purpose, yes.
That's episode one. 6 episodes in this series.
We know at least
I'm
the first two are like 51 and 54 minutes.
Yeah, very long. Very long.
But goes by fast.
I just want to just
goes
couple quick
fast.
Notes. Very fast. Created by Michael Waldron, who hasn't done a terrible... He's a writer. He wrote this. He created this. He's the showrunner. He wrote a couple episodes of Rick and Morty.
Yes, that's
and
one of his.
And he is
his
the
pedigree.
Writer on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I
listened to an interview on this. When he made this, they weren't even done with this, and Feige said, "Hey, you want to come over and do Doctor Strange?" He's like, "Okay," because he knew this was in a good place. It was in a good place.
Tie in, yeah. The same way WandaVision is done by the same person who did is doing what again?
I don't know what you're talking about.
They're doing something else, anyways. And also this, and also these these episodes are all directed by the same person, Kate Heron. She did a ton of TV stuff. She's done Daybreak, Sex Education, Halloween Comedy. Shorts to show, like all these stuff I've never even like watched. Actually, I shouldn't say she's done a lot. She hasn't done a lot. So this is like kind of her first big, huge thing.
Well, it doesn't get much bigger.
And so, yeah, she's going to be directing it all. Now, with that being said, let's dive into our thoughts. Jerry.
I really enjoyed this episode. It hit the right marks for me on all the stuff. It's going back to, it's kind of across... it's more towards WandaVision at this point than Falcon and the Winter Soldier because it's a mystery box. And I say that, that's a comment, that's a word that was usually described for J.J. Abrams shows and movies, where what's the point of this? It's a mystery box. You know, just it maybe in the previous times they would call it more of the MacGuffin or MacGuffin-esque thing where you're unfolding something. Is it? You don't even know if it's important or not. Maybe MacGuffin's the wrong word there. But bottom line is, I like this because, I realized as I was going through that, I'm like, yep, nah, I'm not going to pull this analogy around. I thought this was good because it's revealing stuff, it's answering stuff right away, and then it's giving you more mysteries. And also, when we do this podcast, I want to say it right now here, is obviously we're going to spoil this episode. And then we're going to talk about a lot of theories based on the comic books that... I don't think they're considered spoilers, but this is a podcast where we speculate on stuff based on some knowledge I'm pulling from the comics and very little knowledge of the production, because I don't want to know too much about the production. Like if something had gotten revealed that somebody is playing Heimdall or something, I don't want to know that. I wouldn't want to talk about that.
We're not spoiling that. If you've listened to our podcast before, you know we do a lot of hypotheticals and what ifs based on our knowledge, and we're usually wrong. So
I do know of an actor who is in this. And I do know there's speculation of who the actor could be playing, so I don't want to talk about that because that one is not comic book related. Mm-hmm. So I won't talk about that one. But yes, what did you think of
the episode? I mean, I would say like if you listen to our Marvel TV show podcast of Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision, there's no Mephisto, there's no Zola. You know, all that stuff, it wasn't true, even though we speculated.
It's fun doing that, though. I think it's fun. Part of the
fun. It is fun doing that.
That's what a weekly is versus doing it after it's all got released at once, and then you look at it afterwards. All right, so what did you think of the show?
I thought this was almost a perfect show. It had one minor flaw that I'll pick on right now.
Is that because there was no Golden Porpoise in it?
There was no Golden Porpoise in it. That how did you know?
And now the winner of the Golden Porpoise Award.
So I thought everything was spectacular in the show. I even thought this was a great show for our podcast, for our podcast specifically, because I can't wait for Jerry to talk about who's getting paid in this episode. What actor is like? Is Josh Brolin getting paid? They used his voice. Does he make a royalty check?
Comment a little about that.
I know you do. I'm so excited. But we're gonna talk about all that. But the one thing I want to talk about, and this is kind of an overarching theme, and I thought they did as good of a job as they could with this. And again, spoilers for the episode here. We get to see throughout this episode Loki as the villain from Avengers. But we have had three movies since then where we've gotten to know Loki and see him grow and see him learn. So we've had this time to grow with this character and learn. This is not the same character from the first Avengers movie at all. It's a totally different
character.
Well,
it is the same character from the first Avengers movie. It's not the character from anything beyond that.
And we've had three movies.
This
years,
is the character.
Almost a decade to
so this
grow
is the
with
character,
this character
that we've seen grow in two movies in one direction and right to the point where he was supposed to start making a switch. Which it happens, but we also get to see his reaction to that,
and that's just it. So what they end up doing?
What's
in
your
this,
problem?
My problem is I think they could have let this character growth breathe a little bit. They still may do this, but it seemed like in this less than an hour episode, less than a half an hour of growth, where he went from Avengers Loki all the way to Infinity War Loki. Now he's the good guy.
I don't think he is.
I'm hoping he's not.
I think based on the trailers alone, where you see him, you know,
that
later
could
going,
be variant Loki,
it could be.
We
but he
know.
Goes, "What did you expect?" It's like I think
we don't know who he's talking to. We don't know that. It's out
also,
of context.
Also,
but.
I think he has more screen time in this episode than combined. No, seriously.
You're right.
I mean,
yeah, you might be right.
You know, I mean, in, if you put all of the footage he was in, including, you know, Ragnarok and stuff, I don't even think it actually comes to this time period. That's, you know, it's kind of like how Phil Coulson had so much more, or Scarlet Witch, or any of these characters. These TV shows all of a sudden give them more time to develop than they do in the entire movie.
And I agree
unless
with
you're
that.
The star of the movie.
They can do a lot with this, and I'm okay with that. I just really like the character who died in Infinity War, and we don't have that character. And this is their way to get around that by going, here we go, he's going to watch
but isn't this
highlight
maybe
of Marvel
more
movies, and he's going to come back to what he was. Now, is that believable? Like, I've watched the Marvel movies, and it hasn't changed me as a person, but I guess if I watched future videos of myself, would it change me? Maybe. I don't know. But
I don't think he's changed as much as you. I think it's a way to do it.
I think he has.
I think he has... after seeing all of this and seeing the Infinity Stones and all of that stuff, I think he has gotten to a point where, like, this, my life is not going to be what it is. I can't go that route. I can't do that route. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I can't make something new and still be the god of mischief. Maybe he'll I think it was designed to show his character an opportunity to, like, when you have a character of Loki in the movies, starting over here, bad guy, and over here where he eventually sacrifices himself heroically, that's kind of the end storyline of that particular character. If you bring Loki back after that, like, whoosh, magic, he comes back. He is not the god of mischief anymore. And sometimes in the comics, comics are always about restarting everything. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, he's a great villain. Why would you get rid of a villain? This gives him an opportunity to play with that again without dismissing what he had earned in the last film. So I think this is a brilliant way. I think you can also still grow this character. I don't know. I'm excited. I understand what you're saying about, like, missing the one that we've already spent time with, and I think that may happen again in future movies if we start to pull in alternate universes of characters like Cap or Tony Stark who aren't that. But at the same time, I think that'll be a moment, and then we'll go beyond it.
You make a great point.
That's kind of like
you make a great point there. I just want to say that.
Think of Fitz in the last season of when Fitz comes back and it's not the same Fitz who died.
That's
we
a good
spent
point.
Time with it.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. I still will be curious where they. I hope they don't go the same route. I hope Loki doesn't turn out to be the same. If they go a different route with him, that's cool. I would like that because obviously the Loki we got to love felt like he became an equal and a friend with Thor. He respected his father because he was Odin's son now. Like he grew so much and his mother. So we'll see where they take this. And that makes this exciting. Again, this is my only thing. I felt like it was... I hope they don't go this way. So luckily, this episode can go from great to perfect in my mind.
I also think it's like this show is also not giving any free passes that I think the movies eventually do. Like, this show literally says, hey, look, here's a part where you pulled this guy's eye out. Mm-hmm. And they showed it. And I was like, yes, that's horrific. That's not coming back from, because that guy wasn't he was kind of a Nazi or something. No, this was a normal person.
Well,
so
they do mention he's a murderer. So
exactly. So I love the fact that, like, yeah, let's spend some time with him having to, you know, pay, you know, this version at least, who hasn't already helped save the, you know, the universe.
And died.
Yeah.
When he's watching the Marvel highlight reel. I wish he would have seen the scene from Thor Ragnarok when the Hulk gets... Thor gets slammed around, and they could have made it would have been a little funny bit there if he'd.
But it would, I get it. Yeah, I agree with you. But obviously, within the story time, you know, maybe he can still do that moment because this was such a dramatic moment.
So those are our initial thoughts of this. We're gonna have a lot of thoughts as we go through this. We're gonna talk about some Easter eggs. We're gonna talk about some comic book connections.
Take me to New York 2012.
This is the Avengers movie, the original Avengers movie. We get to see, you know, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. We get to see the Ant-Man.
Well.
And we get to see later on, we get to see Wanda, and we get to see Burton. We'll get to see Thanos, Josh Brolin. We don't get to see Robert Redford.
I've written no Robert Redford. No Paul Rudd. That's just a little CGI Ant-Man running around.
Do they have to pay him?
No. God, no.
Do they have to pay Mark Ruffalo?
I mean, I assume because
they use his voice.
Yeah, his voice and everything. Also, you know when they did this, the shots of Loki in the elevator, those are some new shots, which is, it's interesting. You look at Tom Hiddleston and you say, like, yeah, he hasn't really aged that much. But when they show you at one point an early scene of when he first lands in Avengers and he's, you know, like, wow, he's a lot skinnier. He's a lot skinnier. He's a lot, you know, His different. Face is clean. He isn't built up and everything. And again, that's fine within the movies, but when this character is supposed to be taking place right afterwards, that was the one scene when I saw that. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's definitely younger.
Yeah,
this by about 8 years.
This is not a half hour
but
later,
he's still,
Loki.
The man is aging wonderfully.
Oh, he's doing fine. He looks great. I also want to point this out. Jeff Cook, good friend Jeff Cook, good friend of the podcast.
A friend. Let's not get crazy.
He had made a comment to me, and I thought this was a quite insightful comment. He said one of the things that makes Loki so good, and damn it, Tom Hiddleston, is that you believe everything Loki says. You do. And I'm like, oh my God, you believe everything he says, even though he's a villain and he lies and he does all that. And that's an A-plus on the writing and A-plus on the acting.
Tom Hiddleston tried out for Thor and he got really close.
Well, I think it's funny that him and Chris Hemsworth were really nobodies when Thor was cast. And now look at this. He has his own television show. So
speaking of him, we hear right before we go into these opening credits, we hear Thor going, where's Loki? Loki! You know, we're hearing him there as we fade into the Marvel titles here. And I don't know if you noticed this or not. And maybe this was already in existing ones, but I noticed this time there were when the Marvel Studios logo was coming up, I was like, wow, there's a lot of clips from Endgame in here. So I don't know if these clips were in the version of Spider-Man Far From Home or the other two shows, but I noticed there's a ton of Endgame. There's the Cap getting the hammer. There's all these clips from Endgame in the opening titles. I thought that was kind of interesting.
What is different than all the other ones is we get a green Loki sort of overlay on the Marvel.
Which
Studios
when I see that, I'm like you, I agree. It looks like the Hulk. So
yep, absolutely. So after Loki slips away, and we hear Thor say, where are you, Loki, or whatever his quote is. Is that when the TVA shows up? Does the TVA show up at that point and reset time and put an alternate Loki in there?
We don't know.
Because they want to keep that timeline.
We're going to talk about the reset timeline thing in a few minutes here because I want to go into that.
All right. Well, this would be an example of where the TVA should come in and reset time because Loki is left. He's a variant. They want to put that timeline back on course, so they should be able to reset everything.
Mongolia, Gobi Desert.
The Gobi Desert in Mongolia. Loki lands. He tries to
He lands
to
like
natives.
Iron Man, dude.
Oh, yep, I have it here. He lands like from reminiscent of Iron Man 1 when he lands in his first Iron Man suit after he explodes.
He only speaks English for some reason.
He speaks English.
Which is
but
weird.
But the Mongolians can't hear him. But he might know Mongolian. We just don't know.
I don't know. It's fine. I will say this whole scene here. The lighting was poor. It was like clearly indoor with a sand floor. And I've seen enough Mandalorian to know that the lighting, I know they were going for a dramatic look, it did. The Mongolians, everybody in this scene never felt like I was outside in a desert. It just didn't. It's a minor quibble, but I was like, oh yeah, this is a set.
Interesting.
None of the lighting worked as well as they normally do.
Let me ask you another question about this scene. Do Mongolians still dress that way? Or
do
you travel through time?
All my knowledge comes from TV shows and the internet like that, so I have no idea.
I don't know
if
modern day Mongolians dress like they did.
I saw Marco Polo in the background,
going around. And I don't think he traveled through time because this is the Tesseract, the space stone. It's not the time stone, so.
This is TVA agents arrive, and this is the whole sequence.
They do. So TVA agents arrive. We get to introduce to Hunter B-15. Hunter B-15, who's played by, here we go.
Oh, no.
Wunmi Musaku, that is her name. She's been in a ton of stuff, including Lovecraft Country, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Black Mirror. She was even in Batman v Superman, so she has done the DC and Marvel jump. And we get a great appearance from her where she hits Loki and slows him down.
To 1/16th speed.
And it was really funny.
But he feels the pain in real time.
Did you laugh? I laughed out loud. I thought it was really funny.
Well, I thought it was really funny when all of a sudden she shows up. Because you think it's just a slow motion Zack Snyder scene. And then she's like, oh, no, she's walking around it.
She's walking around
it. She throws the collar on him.
His face is just going. He gets the collar. They put down a little device that we're going to talk about. This is Jerry's MacGuffin.
So it resets the timeline. How is the question? And what happens? And we kind of get like Loki looking back at it. Like, what is going on there? And we see his reaction, and then we go with him. So we don't see what happens other than a glowing light comes out. We see the Mongolian faces, and then we're going.
The question is, will we ever see it in the show?
No, we will absolutely see it. And obviously, deals with how it at the end of the whole episode, somebody picks one up. My question is, they use the phrase in this thing, prune, when they prune stuff. Which means when they destroy things, is this destroying? Is it destroying? Like, do those people left behind get just disintegrate that timeline. And I bring that up because you talk about the Avengers timeline and all of that getting screwed up when they left, and you said the TVA show up there. That's a question. Like, do they show up and all of a sudden that version of Tony Stark and that version of the Hulk going, so many stairs, you know, all that, do they just, you know, are they unaware?
Well, is it a disappearing, or is it like Doctor Strange where it's a time stone where he can rewind time?
Well, and the fact that they're setting something up and we don't see it, I think it's going to come into play, because it comes into play later when we show up in France with dealing with the kid. And he says, send the kid outside, because that kid's going to then, that version of the kid is going to disappear.
Yeah.
You know, however it happens.
Or again, is it a rewind where it's not disappearing, they just get rewound back to where they were with the correct timeline?
I think they're going to show us that. That's a very good question. So let's...
I mean, there's a lot of questions that have to deal with Doctor Strange in this. This is... And the Time Stone. I mean, we're dealing with time. There was a whole... We did a whole Time Stone thing. So there's a lot to question.
When we get to the TVA here, we obviously get the Time Twister, which we're... It's mm-hmm. called the Time Twister. And that is from the comic books, but it's actually a slightly twisted version of the comics. It deals with a person or an entity.
Yeah. A group of people. The anti...
I think it's one of those scariest situations where Marvel has decided to take a name and develop it.
TVA. What does TVA stand for, Jerry?
That's my DVR system. It is the Time Variance Authority.
Yes, it is. So Loki is brought to the TVA. First time we're seeing it. He walks in. We get to see a Skrull in a tracksuit, which could be the same Skrull from Captain Marvel.
Correct.
Some people
Good
have
call.
Pointed that out. I thought that was interesting. We meet a character by the name of Casey, who is played by Eugene Cordero, who has been in a ton of stuff.
He was in The Good Life. At home, remember, when Joel says a ton of stuff, that's when you take a drink.
Yep.
That is your phrase.
The Good Place. He was Pillboy. Doughboy?
Pillboy. That's why I always go there.
Kong Skull Island. He does the main voice of Star Trek Lower Decks. Mandalorian he was in. He was in the Mule movie. He was in Ghostbusters. Not that Ghostbusters. No. The female Ghostbusters. They made me
the
say
official
that.
Yeah.
So he's been in a ton of stuff. He's a really good actor, really funny. We find out Loki can't run away. He tries to. He gets zapped right back to where he needs to be because of the Time Twister. And then he's walking through everything. He ends up going through an orientation. Like Thor Ragnarok, when Thor gets brought to the planet, he has to go through orientation.
The whole elevator sequence is funny. I think the part that made me laugh the most out of the elevator scene was the when he's going to go through and he's like, hang on, what if I don't know I'm a robot?
I thought
which
that
is
was
reference
good.
Maybe to Battlestar Galactica in a little ways.
No, I thought that was really good. I thought it was really funny when he fell and he looks up and he just points. It was very, it reminded me of Army of Darkness. Who you?
He's like, I'll get back to you later.
That made me laugh out loud.
He gets a picture of his temporal aura, and then he has to take a ticket, the whole take a ticket sequence.
Mm-hmm. Well, right before that, he ends up, because he signs his name, off for everything. In the background, there is a clock, which is similar to the end credit clock, where we see like the clock has like 20 different hands. And I thought that was cool. I didn't even notice it the first time. We also get to see a Flurgan. So that was fun to see again.
Yes, or just a cat.
No, it's Flurgan, Jerry.
Sure it is.
It's a Flurgan. Yeah, so he goes and he ends up going through the orientation. He sees the video with Miss Minutes, played by Tara Strong.
Tell me the ton of things she's done.
You want to
know? No, I know.
But
I know
here's the thing. She's a voiceover artist.
Yeah.
She has 598 credits on IMDb.
Yeah, she's
598. She's been doing this forever. Like, she goes, she's
it's
DC
too,
Superhero
it's too,
Girls.
It's too many. Let's
Teen
go.
Titans. She's the voice of Raven. She's done Superman Red Sun. This isn't even her first Marvel stuff. She's done Guardians of the Galaxy animated, Avengers Assemble. She's been doing stuff forever. So I like doing this podcast because I get to like, oh, this person who I've heard 100 times, like now I get to see who she is. So that's great.
We learned about
the animated infomercial
about the vast multiversal war, which speculation online is it maybe referencing eventually Secret Wars with the Beyonder in the comic. Maybe this is the first, people are speculating this could be the first hint towards that moment, which hasn't even happened yet. Just I'm throwing that out.
Interesting. We get to meet the Timekeepers. By the way, I love this animation style. It's very Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Absolutely.
Very early style.
If you look at the cartoon battle in this sequence, it looks like it's a battle between the Kree and Thanos' people, whose name is escaping right now, because there's a scene you can see the starship in the background. It may have been where the Eternals or the Deviants come from, Thanos' race.
Chitauri?
No. Not Chitauri.
I don't think Thanos' people have... Oh, his actual home, right?
Yeah,
home
when race. he shows that place, yeah. This is my planet before it was...
Because there's a picture of one of the starships in the back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Interesting little thing here at the end of the animation. and you tell me if this is something that's going to be important or not. So we have the TVA logo at the end. Right before that, it's the planet Earth. Does the TVA not handle the entire galaxy?
Well, since they showed all these different cartoon creatures earlier in that, I would say yes.
We see the Kree. We see the scroll. I'm sorry. We see the scroll in the beginning. So why do they show planet Earth and not more?
Everybody inside this thing, aside from the scroll that you see, are humanoid. So
humanoid, exactly. But we should be seeing, obviously, creatures from all over the galaxy.
Like maybe we will.
And they should be... Will we see the planet Earth? The only reason I'm saying is I think this might have been a mistake, but it's easily... I think it's a mistake. I don't think you would show, like, if you had a trailer for the planet Earth, you wouldn't just show Illinois. You wouldn't show the state of Illinois and be like, welcome to planet Earth. Here's Illinois. No, what I'm saying is here's the way they fix that, is that everybody sees a different video, like, in their mind's eye. It's an illusion.
Okay.
Something I noted. I wanted to point out. Yeah. So before he gets to the end of the thing, one of the timekeepers, the Minutemen, evaporates. The guy from Goldman, whose dad was Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. Also, the point about the timekeepers, which I think is a bigger picture thing, and they talk about the timekeepers want to keep a single timeline. What is speculation about that from the comics is that's not done out of altruistic, for the war. It's a timeline that preserves them. The timekeepers, yep, at the end of the time thing, they were like, well, this is how we're going to exist. Yeah. So this is the timeline that we think is important. So if these three timekeepers, who I think we will see at some point in the show, they may turn out to be the ultimate bad guy. And maybe the Loki variant that we're chasing through this show may be actually trying to do something to get rid of the timekeepers for something. I think this kind of show has me on guard, ready for the, 180 degrees. It's absolutely not what I thought it was.
Well, again, and also this... There's a movie coming out called Multiverse of Madness, which means there's going to be multiverses, which is what the timekeepers are trying to stop, correct? They're trying to stop multiverses, which have different timelines.
Yeah. We also, in the cartoon, get reference to the Nexus event, which we've heard about the Nexus, including in WandaVision, one of the commercials in between talks about, because Wanda is considered a Nexus being. Mm-hmm. And these are words that are being thrown out here, and also the danger of a multiverse. And then we get our opening titles.
Opening titles in a weird spot. 12 minutes in, weird spot. Even if you waited 12 minutes and you just threw it in.
You don't
want to
see how many minutes we are into this podcast.
No, we're 12 minutes.
No, we're not. France, 1549.
Action Province, France, 1549. Mobius is there. We get to meet Mobius, played by Owen Wilson.
Wow.
There have been, we find out there have been 6 different attacks that they know of.
Dead Minutemen everywhere.
Yep. The TVA agent speaks. We find out the TVA agents speak all the languages in the timeline.
We find out that the victims are all stabbed, which we assume by Loki because he's known to have his blades all the time. And
we assume by Loki later on when he goes.
Yes,
to the very
but he says
end.
They're
like, at
stabbed.
At this point, I would have never been like,
"No,
oh,
I wouldn't
Loki's
have either. I wasn't either." And we also see that the reset charge is gone. They say that, which is important because that ties into the end of this, the mm-hmm. reset charge, and ties into, remember, Loki looking back to see what the heck was a reset charge. This is all connected.
Mm-hmm. Loki goes to talk to the kid there. In the background, there is a picture of the devil.
Have you been to a church
Mephisto?
Where there is a devil painting?
In France, though, in 1549?
Who makes, like those windows either show moments or they show... mm-hmm. good people. It's like, and here's one that we've done beautifully for the devil.
The devil,
that
yeah.
seems crazy.
It does have the horns like Loki's helmet, so that's yes. probably why it's referring to Loki.
Well,
it's Mephisto.
Again,
the
creators of the show have come out and said, Mephisto's not in this show, but you can't hold anybody to that.
No.
Until the show is done.
Mephisto's not in this show. I'm willing to put $20 down, Jerry.
I'm going to punch him. I'm going to punch him with Mephisto.
Yeah. The French girl is also chewing...
is it a
chewing,
girl?
I thought it was a girl.
I thought it was a boy.
Well, the French child.
Here's why I think it's important. The whole thing with the kid here... why is there a kid running through there? And again, because
the kid is chewing
kablooey. Yes,
making their mouth blue. What is kablooey?
Okay, it's well, I don't even know if it's real or not.
No,
but
I don't think it
but
is.
But it's a blue makes the
go.
Mouth blue, right?
Here we go. Here no, we go, everyone.
And on the image, there's a little cartoon character that could look like what's Loki's race? The Frost Giants. Blue, the image looks like Loki as a frost giant. Maybe this version of the variant is okay with his appearance. He no longer hides his illusion face, and he actually looks like he's supposed to, and it's a tie into that. Also, in the comic books...
Stretch!
No, I think there's
he's
definitely...
He's not okay giving people blue gum because he's a frost giant. He's like, you can have blue gum now. That's not the case.
Well, you're saying who gave it to him. Again...
Well, no, I never said who gave it to him. Where it's Loki that gave it to him.
Well, no, maybe because...
Loki variant.
Well, in the comic books... Loki, for a good chunk of time, becomes a child and then a teenager. There's a young boy or girl running around in this thing. Who's to say that that's not Loki on scene? That's a variant right there.
I will
there.
Say that the child pointed to the mural and showed the devil. So at some point, I think the helmet's going to come into play.
I also think that we can't say that this kid isn't Loki. We could find out that this kid is Loki.
That would be an awesome twist. I doubt it, but that would be a kick-ass twist. I get what you're saying now. Okay. He's chewing the gum because he's...
It could be anything. It could be Loki being mischievous.
I think it would be really cool, but I doubt that's what's going to happen.
We also find out that the branch is nearing the red line.
Red line. In the comics, the TVA, all the people that work for the TVA look the same, correct?
I don't know.
Are you not... Well, I saw a video where they were talking about the comic book TVA
characters.
Oh,
the one version.
Mobius is cloned and looks all the same.
I'm sure there are other ones, though, where it's not, probably.
All the clerks look the same. Because the Minutemen, these people that work for the Timekeepers, were created
by
the
Timekeepers. Yeah, that's a key thing.
These aren't like...
It's like clones, almost. It's like the Clone Wars and Star Wars versus, hey, come work for us and you'll get benefits. Because we find out, especially with Casey.
They're not recruited yet.
He's like, all I do is sit behind this desk. I don't even know what a fish is. You know, like that
but
whole
he likes
thing.
His life. That's his life. He's created to do that. I mean, we assume he likes his life. But in comics, they're clones. In this, they're all different looking people.
Let's go to the court.
Loki is on trial. He is behind the judge. And in the IMDb, it calls her Rowena Renslayer. I don't know if that's a comic book character, but it's played by actress Guru Mabtha Raw. That's her, it's a hard name for
her. I saw her in the morning show.
She was in the Dark Crystal TV show. Wrinkle in Time, Beauty and the Beast, Black Mirror. She was also in Doctor Who. So there you go. She's been in a good chunk of stuff as well.
You asked if she's from the comics. That character name is, at one time, was the love or the wife or connection, I can't remember specifically, of Kang the Conqueror. And we know that the character of Kang the Conqueror, who is a major Marvel villain, is going to be showing up in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So the fact that she is in this is leading people to believe, in fact, that people think that, because again, Kang deals with time travel and all of this stuff, and he may be tied to the time variant. So I believe she may have a tie-in with that going forward. She may have a bigger picture. That's what her character name is from.
Speaking of tie-in, behind the judge, there are the faces of the Timekeepers. Tell me you did not think they looked like the Quintessons from Transformers the Animated Movie.
I didn't
movie.
Think that.
I think they look just like it. I was like, oh,
guilty
that's cool.
Or innocent. Anderson. Also, we see a bunch of paintings on the wall of the Timekeepers and possible images of comic creators in there. A lot of people looked out. There's a picture of one. This guy was standing with a group of four people, and the guy looks like possibly comic book creator Mark Grunwald. So it's
some
one of those.
Are saying one of them looks like a young Stanley.
That's the Mark Grunwald one, though. That it could be that.
We get a great little bit of line here where Loki figures out that the Avengers are traveling through
time. He blames the Avengers, but I thought it was a great. It's like
it's great.
True.
He figured it out. Like, oh,
smell,
there's two sets.
You can spell two different clone, two Tony Stark clones.
But the judge was like, oh, that was supposed to happen. I like that. Yeah. That's what the Timekeepers have said. This is a supposed to happen.
And he goes, who cites that? And he goes, according to the Timekeepers.
Which makes me, I thought about Doctor Strange when he was battling Dormammu and changing time and all that. Like, why didn't the TVA step in there? It's because that was supposed to happen. So everything that happened is supposed to happen.
In their timeline, exactly. In their point.
What a great little bit of dialogue that makes everything about time travel makes sense. It's really nice. Well done.
So we know magic doesn't work
here.
Does
not work.
And so he's been sentenced guilty, and he's sentenced to be reset. And that's when Logan's like, wait, what is that? What is that? What is that? Again, his acting here in comedy is just wonderful. But Mobius rescues
Loki. And then he shows him, he takes him on a little walk, and he gets to look out, and they look out the portal and see Cloud City from Star Wars.
So let me ask you about this. He looks at the city, and he goes, it's magic. Why would he think it's magic? Doesn't Loki have been in the universe and seen giant cities? Is this city, I'm asking you, does this city so much bigger? Is it Coruscant? So that he goes, oh my God, this is magic? Or because to me, I looked at it, and I went, it's just a space city.
Yeah, me too.
They didn't convey the magic part.
I heard
part
someone
to me.
Say it's an infinite city.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
But I didn't see infinity in there. Like
the second time I viewed it, it did look like it went on farther.
Kind of had a Metropolis feel to it, which I thought was pretty cool. The old Fritz Lang movie. A
little dialogue about Nightmare here.
Go ahead.
They talk about how Nightmare is a different department, which Mobius would help burn down actually with him. So that's just, I think that might be just a throwaway bit.
And we get a mention of time passing differently in the TVA. Not sure if that's going to come into play at any point.
Head to the time theater.
Yep, they go and sit down, Mobius and Loki. Mobius is drinking a Josta soda, which I had never heard of before. It's the earliest energy drink sold by PepsiCo from 1995 to 1999, and they discontinued it without giving a reason.
I like that, though. That's cool.
Josta Soda. Never even heard of it. So this is where Mobius shows Loki that highlight reel of Marvel movies. Again, we get to see Avengers. Who's getting paid here? A great little scene here, and we're going to talk about this just for a moment here. We get to see Phil Coulson, and he dies, and at no point does Mobius go, and Phil Coulson came back to life.
Yeah, I was waiting for that, too.
They didn't say that. So some people online, those some people have speculated that this disavows anything from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Those people are idiots.
But it doesn't, because he doesn't mean Mobius doesn't go, oh, yeah, he's Mobius just didn't tell him he's still alive.
Exactly. Also, in this conversation, there's so much detail here, but it's basically he's talking about what are Loki's goals. He's asking these questions that I've asked for years when you talk to supervillains. It was great. He's like, so then what? So happy love after? Like, no, then the next. It's like, what is your goal? I'm just sitting there loving that dialogue. And the writers of this having to deal with Tom Hiddleston going, so then what does Loki say? Well, we have to write some way where his arrogance accepts the fact that he's never going to get an answer, because as a writer, you can't. In other words, if you're dealing with the Joker, because he's insane, that's an easy write out. But if your goal is to be Lex Luthor, what's your goal? So I can rule. So you're ruling people, and then what? So you're sitting on a throne, everything's going good. It's like, what is the goal, Lex Luthor? I mean, really? So then you're in charge, and then is your ego being stroked? Can you kill people at will? It's one of those weird doesn't work in reality. Like, nobody wants to. Like, you know, does Vladimir Putin want to have the entire world under him so he can go, and now I can sit here and, you know,
well,
and
that's,
maybe.
That's why, fun little fact, one of the things why George R. R. Martin wrote Game of Thrones is because he in Lord of the Rings, is so he loves Lord of the Rings, but the question is, what happens if Sauron gets full power? Does he start taxing people? How does he take care of the roads? You know, how does he feed?
That's adult stuff. That's adult conversation.
That's what Game of Thrones kind of tries to deal with. Yeah. Is what happens after you have power? How do you keep it? How do you keep the people happy? And so this is a therapy session for Loki.
Oh, yeah.
Loki gets to get all the questions asked.
This could have gone on. In fact, when later Hunter B-15 interrupts, I'm like, get out of here. We're finally making progress.
Well, there is
that's the show I want. Marvel's therapy session. Oh, my God. That's right next to Marvel's HR department.
There is a section later on where Loki's like, where Mobius is like, you do know yourself. Because Loki's been lying
so
to himself and out loud. That's a great character development quickly. That we got over three movies, we're getting this over 5 minutes. You know?
We find out Mobius specializes in the pursuit of dangerous variants. That is his job. And obviously he says, you're not
by the
dangerous.
Way, Mobius Strip was the...
His name is Mobius E. Mobius.
Yeah. And the Mobius Strip is the design that helped create time travel by Tony Stark in Endgame. Just a connection if you didn't know that.
Yeah. The D.B. Cooper sequence?
D.B. Cooper.
This was just a
So D.B. Cooper, I didn't know who D.B. Cooper was.
Really?
Until this, I didn't.
There's a movie that was done in the 80s.
He's the alias for an airline hijacker who demanded, I thought it was $20,000 in ransom from the U.S. government. He passed that note to the stewardess saying he had a bomb in the case. He then parachuted out of the black of the plane.
The black of the plane?
Yep. He parachuted out of the back of the plane, and no, it's never been solved.
Correct.
Who he was.
It's a real life mystery that exists. You know, he's dead somewhere. But
the only difference between what happened in real life and on Loki was that in real life it was actually raining apparently when he parachuted out. So I think that was interesting. But yeah, it's cool that they did that. A lot of people online love that. I just wasn't familiar with D.B. Cooper. This was before my time.
Interesting.
So that was just to see that the way it ties into history. Maybe we'll do more. I like the idea that he did that because he lost a bet to Thor.
Yeah.
And he's still he talks to Thor and Heimdall, and he gets sucked up by the Rainbow Bridge.
The beginning of Thor, we see that they're all close. They're all part of the same team. They've been teenagers for thousands of years together, apparently.
Right? That's just it. He's thousands of years old, too.
You can't think that stuff through. You can't think that through because, you know, like, I'm getting close to 30 myself. And I understand at a certain point that I need something new because I've already seen, like, the reason I think we live so long is because at a certain point you're like, well, I've seen all the stories. I've seen all the jump scares. There's nothing new. Whatever. Get on to it. So he's also shown footage of Thor 2, The Dark World.
Yeah, he saw it. He saw the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah,
and
he
everything.
Got to see his death of
he
his mother.
He listened to the Bennett Brothers podcast on it. He sees the death of his mother.
He's
I
really
point
shaken
out here,
by this.
The TVA also knows how everyone's life is meant to be over and over and over again as the life goes, this time is like that. This brings up a question that is asked in other TV shows and all that, the concept of free will, this goes into Lost. Like,
oh, yeah.
Is there, if your timeline is set over and over again, do you have any free will? This might be the first, Loki being the variant is the first time we've ever seen free will in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because he's stepped off the path. Everyone else has been on that path over and over and over again.
Unless you're something like the Ancient One, who seems to have a knowledge of that.
Seems to, yeah. That'd be cool to know more about that.
So, like I said, Loki is really shaken by this, which was this dramatic moment I thought was good. And we also, it's like, they basically define who he is, which is basically a comic book character. He's like, you're not going to win because you were born to cause pain so others can achieve the best version of themselves.
Pain and suffering and death.
And that creates the Avengers. And so, like, that is your purpose. So if you're looking for what you do that does something good, look what you did over here, but you can't take that approach. And then this is where Hunter B-15 interrupts, like we talked about.
But she interrupts, and I noticed this on the first go, and I'm sure you did too. I thought it was pretty obvious. This is when Loki steals the time twister.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
It was
he
so
set it on the table.
Obvious. He's like next to him, and he reaches into his pocket. I'm like, I can totally see what you're doing.
So they find out that they lost another time unit, and then Loki escapes. And then this comes to the Peggy Carter scene.
The Peggy Carter scene.
You've heard this, right?
I have not heard this.
There's a scene where he pops in, you see another window open, and then there's a TVA officer moving a woman through the doorway. And that's just some woman for a background. Okay. But people are like, oh, that looks like Peggy Carter. It's like, it was a stretch. But if you look online, people talk about that. It's not Peggy Carter.
This is the Scream scene coming up.
The what?
The Scream. The movie Scream. Because Loki walks in and he talks to Casey and he goes, I will gut you like a fish, Casey. Is the line from Scream. The character's name is Casey in Scream. I will gut you like a fish, Casey. That's what the killer says to him.
Okay. No,
right? What a random example.
It is weird. You know what random thing I'd like to see in the TVA somewhere, even on a picture somewhere? I'd like to see a police box. Just throw in
that'd be fun.
Oh, like Doctor Who. Because this is so... Yeah, that's another thing. I think this show, if Doctor Who didn't exist, this show would be tripping my mind unbelievably. But Doctor Who has dealt with so many similarities to this that I'm loving it. And I'm like, ooh, but none of it is yet to blow my mind because Doctor Who, a TV show dealing with time travel, has like,
done there's for 50
a,
years.
A billion, you know, 60 years. Yeah, it's insane.
This is another one of those pivotal moments for Loki in this episode where he opens the drawer that Casey is pushing and he sees a Honus Wagner baseball card. The third most expensive baseball card in history. No, he sees a bunch of Infinity Stones. They're useless.
His reactions here are so good. And he looks up and he basically goes, he looks at the room there and he goes, is this the greatest power in the universe? Is genuine awe and realizing all this.
This scene was amazing because it goes.
It gutted him.
He got gutted
like a fish.
He did.
He did.
It didn't just gut him. It destroyed the past 10 years of MCU. Not in a bad way, but it went, hey, remember the most powerful thing, the Infinity Stones that everyone was chasing and that it was the big thing? They mean nothing here. And I was like, holy cow, well done. Because they made the MacGuffin, as you would call it.
And now we don't have to worry about them anymore. Like, oh, you know, in other words, what that did, and to your point, it brings up the fact that every movie going forward, shouldn't every villain go, well, I'm just going to go for the Infinity Stones because that's the ultimate thing, so nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. And I think this show kind of said, okay, that story's done, guys.
Exactly.
And I think you're right.
How clever of them to do that. It's brilliant. Super clever. Also, there was like a poker chip inside that drawer. There was some other stuff, but the Honus Wagner card is probably the one that most people are talking about.
Hunter comes in and she destroys Casey's cart with all the stones in it.
Yeah, right? Just touches and they're gone.
You know, and she pruned it. And then we're back in the time theater where he sees...
That those little devices are some of the most powerful weapons.
In that world, yeah. Because they couldn't probably do that to those... Well, who knows? But Loki heads back to the time theater, and he gets to see his death in Infinity
gets
War.
To hear the crunch of his neck.
Powerful. Thing. I mean, he is just being again. This is a Loki who just lost the Battle of New York.
Yeah, just lost it,
and it's not that long ago. And then he's just going in and like, oh, we're just gonna cut you. We're gonna show you that your mom dies. We're gonna show you have no power. We're gonna show you that the stones mean nothing, and you're gonna die.
By the person
like
you were trying to help with Thanos, even though you were always going to betray
him. And he's just, bam, and then the Hunter
Well, here's something else. After he gets crushed, and then they see Thanos walk through the portal, you hear the ship explode. I don't remember that being in Infinity War, but it does make sense because when the Guardians of the Galaxy show up in Infinity War, Thor is floating in space and he lands on the windshield.
Yeah.
I don't know if we saw the ship explode, though.
I can't remember.
I don't think we did. Yeah, so and then B-15 shows up, Loki traps her in a time loop, which was a very funny scene where he keeps twisting.
He puts the collar on her and starts twisting her. That showed him a little bit of being the mischief guy. Like, no, I'm going to get my revenge here. So, in fact, he said to her at the beginning when she put in the elevator, he's like, I'm going to...
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Mobius comes back in. They start talking. My favorite line here was, Have you tried to use the Tesseract? And he's like, oh, several times. And it was the way he says it. So, oh, several times. Yeah. Like, when he first grabbed it, he must have been like, tried to use it. It never worked.
Well, the whole thing when he did the time twister on him when Loki stood up and he goes, I was just standing up for effect. He's like, well, go ahead. He's like, well, now I don't want. It was
when he took it back and the chair is gone, he goes,
it's just the banter back and forth, but they're almost out of character where you go, like, well, now you've undercut. Go ahead.
There is a clip online where Tom Hiddleston does Owen Wilson being Loki.
I think I've seen it.
It's like spot on. I was like, holy smokes, he does a great Owen
Wilson. Maybe they'll find a way for him to do it in the show.
It'd be great.
Yeah. But we find out also, Loki kind of revelation, he's like, I don't enjoy hurting people. I don't, even though you've seen that. He goes, I have to. It's part of the illusion. It's a cruel, elaborate trick by the weak to inspire fear.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. That is Loki's, that's it. That's him.
And he knows.
Boom.
That he always knew it. It's always
you
deep
do
down,
know yourself.
He
and he goes, I'm a villain. And that's when Mobius is like, I don't think it's that.
Yeah, it's you're out of every character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you're the most gray of them all.
And then the last line of the sequence, he's like, listen, I can't offer you salvation, but I can give you something better. What's that going to be? That's the crux of the show mm-hmm. going forward. Because he finds out that he's chasing other variants. And then
he's chasing a variant of Loki.
The variant we are hunting is you. And then we go to Salina, Oklahoma in
1858.
What is that relevant for? What happened in 1858?
Nothing happened in 1858 because I was looking at the fire. But in 1859, that was when the first oil vein was found in Oklahoma, that area.
Oh, okay. So it does have...
So that's why the guy was like, this is a thief trying to...
It does have relevance to that. That's interesting.
Before it was actually found in Oklahoma. I think that's what they were doing. That's what Wikipedia showed me about Salina, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Now, I didn't look up France at that time. I don't know what was happening then at France, but
Well, earlier, you said in the show, you saw London, and then you saw France.
And then I saw some underpants.
Yeah, that's what I thought happened. Hello, everybody. We're 4 years old.
And the Minutemen there are about to reset time with a device.
This is the same Minuteman who we saw in the... France one who was with Loki, wasn't it? This guy.
I don't think so.
I thought it was the guy who says, you know, I can speak all the languages. I was almost positive it was the same guy. And he gets his helmet off and he's got the beard and everything. So I thought it was that guy.
That's even cooler. I like that.
But he's killed along with the rest of them. And they're killed by, do we want to say who we speculate this is?
Go ahead.
I think it is, obviously it's a Loki. I think we're not shown who it is face-wise because I think it's a different actor. I think it's a character from Loki from the comic books. At a certain point for a few years, Loki was female. And I think that it's a female version of Loki. It could be different. It could be, there is speculation that of all the different Lokis, because I said Loki shows up as a teenager at some point, Loki shows up as a kid. Loki, also the original Loki, was much more older and more mischievous. I think we're going to get an older Loki at some point in the show. Maybe. These are all guesses. Clearly, on these Marvel shows, our guesses do not always pan out. But I think that what's nice about this, the mystery box, is all these things are out on the table and they could show up.
It's interesting that they did this on purpose. They showed us in the beginning when Loki changes into Captain America and he says his line. They showed us at the beginning. This is in the Avengers movie, but they showed us at the beginning to show Loki can change his appearance and he can be whatever he wants to look like. And at this point, if he wants to look like a woman, if he wants to look like a kid, an old man.
I think
man,
it's just variants of ones who actually are those things. Like, not just, like, it's not just
well,
a
they do.
I don't think if it's a kid Loki or a female Loki, I don't particularly think, I think it's multiverse Lokis. That's my guess. I could be wrong.
It's not just Loki wearing a different disguise.
I don't think it is because then he could turn that disguise off. Especially, why does he need to wear? Why would he need to wear a disguise around a bunch of people who he's going to kill?
Well, let's be real. I mean, he is wearing a disguise though. Like you mentioned before, he's a frost giant.
Yeah.
So he's been wearing this disguise.
That's true.
This is his natural look. But that's an interesting conversation. We're going to find out next week when this happens, who this hooded character is. I hope we find it out next week.
Yeah, the Minutemen we find out here in this scene, they say that the time signature is early third millennium. What does that mean? This is from somebody from the future.
Well, I know it's after the second millennium.
Yes.
But before the fourth.
Yes, and also the last thing we see here is the reset charge is taken again. Reset charges, key to this.
The steampunk, old vintage technology Minutemen reset charges. So that is the end. We have the end credits here. Do you want to go through the end credits?
No, I didn't think there was anything worth talking about.
I mean, we,
I think
that's, we I think t- we'll talk about it as we go along, but there's you can look through the end credits to see things that tie into the show.
We got screwed last time with the end credits. I ain't messing with this stuff anymore. Well, last time we're like, and there's an opening space. This is where it's going to happen. And nothing happens.
Nothing
I'm like,
well, happened.
I'm not, fool me once, Marvel. Not going to happen again. The end credits mean nothing.
I don't get fooled again.
So, did it change your thoughts? Is this now show better than you thought it was?
This show is Marvel, again, knocking it out of the park. I think this is the best pilot episode. I think this is better than
I was concerned watching it a second time, thinking, oh, it doesn't have that much action. But no, I loved watching it a second time. It was surprising
how good acting and good writing will take. You can watch. I was actually watching this thing that talked about opening numbers in musicals. And there was like, if you can have a good opening number in a musical, the cast can read the phone book and the audience will still be like, oh, I'm still into this.
Well, all right. This was number one of six for the Loki podcast. We actually just are coming in at the same time as the episode, so it's long. We talked a little bit. Sorry, everybody. We'll go forward.
We had to establish
this. This was a setup one, yes. So join us again. And please, if you have an opportunity to send us some information, just like your thoughts on this, go to Facebook, our Bennett Brothers Podcast Facebook page, and let us know. If you can give us a review, that would be huge. We could never get enough of those, even if it's just a 5-star review, wherever you're listening to this podcast, to help bring in more listeners. And finally, if you can go to patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast and actually help the podcast out by maybe just donating $1 or whatever, we have mini casts there for you that are exclusive, that are something different, just something extra to give you something as an incentive to help us out. And as Joel, I can always say, keep the lights on.
Yes, keeping those lights on. So thank you for joining us. If this is your first time here, thank you for coming. Hope you stick around for more episodes. Jerry?
And I'm Joel Bennett.
Dang it!
Okay, there you go. Goodbye, everybody.
And I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.